Talk, talk to me.
Welcome back to Integrity Talk Radio with Dr. David Gruder and Lee Maribol.
We continue with our special guest, critical thinking expert Richard Wells, Vice President of Research and Development at Business Processes Incorporated.
Yes, we do. And Dante once said, you know, the hottest places in hell are reserved for those who are in a period of moral crisis who maintain their neutrality. And David has convinced me that to sit on the fence and not make important conclusions is not a way out of our challenges, that critical thinking plays a big part in helping us to come to the right conclusions for ourselves, our families, our country, and the world as a whole. So to help us learn more about critical thinking, we continue with our special guest, critical thinking expert Richard Wells, who's Vice President of Research and Development at Business Processes Incorporated in La Jolla, California. And if you'd like Rick to illustrate the critical thinking process using examples you provide, please feel free to call us toll-free at 877-474-3302. That's 877-474-3302. And Rick, before we get to the examples, your company's website contains some valuable critical thinking resources. What are they, and what is the website?
The website is critical-thinking.com. And what's available there, we have about 18 different articles speaking to critical thinking and applying it to special situations. I believe one article in particular I think of is a nurse that notices something wrong with a prescription for one of the infants and takes action and uses her good critical thinking skills to save a life. That's one example, one extreme. And several examples in different from different industries in those articles. The articles come out in our newsletter, and then we post them on the website. So that's another thing that's available on the website is you can sign up for our newsletter. It comes out about every 6 weeks. We'll be starting that back up again in the fall.
If you have anything in particular that you would like Richard Wells to kind of help you learn a little bit more about critical thinking, if you have an issue in your life or an issue in the news media, you can give us a call. We're happy to take it at 877-474-3302. But Richard, here's something. Here's a premise, okay?
Okay.
The proposed Obama health reform plan will destroy health care in America, and in the process, it will move our country away from capitalism and towards socialism.
Okay.
So there's an assumption. There's a position or a concern.
Yeah, someone has expressed the conclusion, and anytime, no matter where someone starts, the appropriate question is, what specifically did you observe that triggered your concern?
Let's double back there for a second. I really want to underline what you said there. Somebody has expressed a conclusion, not data, not even interpretation, a conclusion.
That's correct.
And starting with a conclusion, what's the problem with that?
Well, you leave out the thinking.
Exactly. So how would you back someone out from, not back someone out of their position, but back someone out from the conclusion phase back into the beginning part of the critical thinking process with a statement like that?
Well, first I want to acknowledge it sounds like you're very concerned about that and do a good active listening like a good counselor would do. But
I wouldn't know anything about that. Right?
Yes. Well, logically then, which is something that I do, is I would ask them, well, what did you observe that triggered your concern? And then well, it's all over the radio. It's all over television. This is going to be terrible. So it's what maybe all they've observed maybe is what people have said. On the other hand, maybe they've actually read a part of it that was published in the newspaper or whatever. And so we could get back to that specific thing that they observed that triggered the concern. And then it probably is several things, not just one thing. So once we have those several things, then we have to take a look at those and see if they should be grouped together or treated separately.
Ah, so sometimes what happens is that when more things are lumped together than you can sanely deal with at the same time, you can get into gridlock over that.
And I think that's part of what's going on with this healthcare thing. It's pages and pages and pages long, and all of us are very, very busy, Richard.
Oh, absolutely. And so having a focus, and the one thing that helps you separate groupings or groups is if it has the same cause, whether you know the cause or not, then group them together. So if you went to the doctor, had a headache, sore throat, and runny nose, the doctor, she would probably group those together. But if you added sore knee, that would be a separate issue. So that'd be two different issues, and the doctor would have to prioritize and decide which of the two issues to address.
And even that depends on your framework, because the sore knee might be very, very relevant as far as an acupuncturist would be concerned, because
yeah,
the energy
true.
System is so integrated that that the sore knee may be indicating a particular meridian being out of balance that's actually directly connected to the headache.
That's right. And so it's a judgment call, and our judgment comes from our experience and knowledge and our reading of the present situation. So these are questions, and you apply your judgment, you answer, and move on, and sometimes you double back.
Well, how do we apply our judgment, Rick, when we don't even know whether we're working off of facts or spin?
Well, that is the Achilles heel of thinking. And so that I would add into critical thinking. Strictly speaking, you put facts into the system. And so when you describe a problem, what, where, when, and magnitude of a problem, you're supposed to answer those questions with facts. And if you don't have the facts, then that's a hole that needs to be filled, and so
okay.
It should be gathered.
So Obama is a socialist because he wants a public health insurance alternative to private health insurance, and he's turning the United States into a socialist country. You see why I'm saying this, because these are the conclusions that are just examples of conclusions that are running around that are portraying themselves as though they're fact.
Right. So you have to get back to the specifics of it. Now, I think it makes sense when someone uses a word, a label, to ask, well, what do you mean by that label? So you say socialist. What do you mean by socialist?
Mm-hmm.
And they say, well, socialist is that the government runs the activity more and more, and is in favor of growing government to run more and more activities. And so once you agree on the definition, then you can go from there and bring the facts in to make a judgment about that.
Ah, so what you're really then leading to, Rick, is that if we sit back and we start to say, okay, how are we going to understand the word socialism? And if we were to happen to agree that socialism has to do with how government operates on behalf of the common good, then what that would lead to is a question that doesn't have to do with whether or not socialism exists. It becomes more of a question of to what extent should the government be involved, and in what forms, and where do we draw the line between appropriate government involvement and not?
And I think the real question you're going to get to with a critical thinking framework, mm-hmm. because it's a purpose-driven framework, is
yeah.
you always come back to the purpose. We're having this discussion, and you're making pronouncements about President Obama. What is the purpose here? What would we like to achieve? And I think that often people can agree on the purpose and then have disagreements about how best to proceed. But it takes some work to get into the underlying goals and objectives, and then get some alternatives that would be mutually acceptable.
Would you say that we've lost track of the fact that we really do have many more common purposes than it seems that people are?
Yeah, I think that's a feature of polarization, is that we describe our enemy as our worst fear, and therefore. Certainly don't want to listen to them. We denigrate their sincerity and their intentions, and therefore we don't have to listen to them. And so then you get this polarization.
Is that polarization, Rick, a sign of critical thinking deficits? Is that a symptom of critical thinking deficits?
Yes, because you've blocked off a source of information, and the source of information, the more passionate you are about an issue, the more likely you're going to pick and choose the information that agrees with your passion, or often with your fear, And so you're missing a part of it.
My soundbite about that is an ego in search of evidence always finds it.
Yes.
So, Richard, is this something, critical thinking skills, is this something that some parents teach their children automatically without thinking, or do none of us ever learn it? We have to learn it as adults. What's the deal here?
Well, I think sharing reasoning and consequences and step-by-step kind of a process approach to understanding the world is something that some parents do naturally, and I know it's associated with moral development. Parents that do that, their children score higher on moral development. I think Kohlberg's research supports that. So, yes, some parents do it naturally. Others don't.
Well, it's been my experience in life that most people do not have excellent critical thinking skills. Would this be something I should have used better critical thinking skills before I said? But it seems to me that most people do not use very good critical thinking skills.
Well, your natural tendencies will only take you so far. I think you need a structure to handle the wealth of information that's available now and the complexity. So it's probably more important to get some expert coaching or training or education to move from what comes natural to people or what they pick up in their family and in their culture to move beyond that and to be better armed.
You know, Lee, Rick has a dream of opening up a school that develops students with outstanding critical thinking skills. Maybe we can have him back for a little part of the next segment to talk about that.
Let's do it.
Okay.
I like it. I like it a lot. We'll be back. Rick's going to be with us. How to become a person who is very good at critical thinking skills. So come on, stay with us. We're going to go through the last segment with Rick. This is fascinating stuff. It'll make you a better person and build character. I'm Lee Mirabal with Dr. David Gruder on Your Advice Radio Network.